sure what all the twinkling lights were just before our transmission. Can you tell us, are those, what are they?
Well, they are related to the question you asked, interestingly. Okay. Remember, there are no coincidences and everything right. has a meaning.
Right.
It is hard for you to think this all the time when you're going throughout your life. You still continually think that things aren't important.
Right.
Because you were taught that. Because you're taught that you're not important and your thoughts aren't important. You have to go to the book and you have to go to the museum in order to find what is important. You have to go to the expert. So you don't pay attention to your own experiences and revel in them and see the meaning in them. There was a meaning for that, for you lying there and noticing. This, what you are seeing, is a part of that interconnected web of light. You are just glimpsing the reality of what this world is, which is all energy. You see? And you are seeing it in your own, through this, these cones of your eyes, you are seeing past the illusion of the separateness of everything. And you are taught that that is just some problem with your eyes or whatever it is you are taught. Don't pay attention to it, whatever it is. It is a glimpse for you to see how everything is connected. Everything is energy. You can see it in anything around you. You can see through the solidity to the molecules. And beyond that, at some point you will see the consciousness of the air, the consciousness of the tree, the consciousness of the statue, the consciousness of your shirt, all of it. And that was a glimpse for you to have an understanding of that, you see, because it looks like things sparkling all over, and that's what the universe does look like. When you are into the consciousness of it, you feel the sparkles, because everything is light. Everything is that energy of light. It is a start for you to ponder, for you to meditate on, to bring your consciousness out of your solid 3D perspective.
I have a question regarding, will we ever be able to, in our lifetimes, this generation, achieve immortality?
Well, you are, of course, already immortal. You know that.
Yes.
But you want to see it in your metaphor. You want to experience it in your manifestation.
Yes.
Which is, of course, it's your decision to do so. All of you. But it will be a collective effort.
Mm-hmm.
An individual can transcend it, but they are dealing with transcending the collective. What is needed is for the entire species to have this recognition. And this is, again, goes back to your other question about the separation of the physical and the spiritual. Because when, in order to get to immortality, you must see that there is no separation. Then there needs to be no death in order to see your soul. You need to see your soul before you die. And then you know that you do not need to die. Because you are already your soul, and your soul will make the decision about what form you would like to take next, without having to have a death experience and a change in the cycle. Instead of it being unconscious, it will become conscious. The shift from the physical reality to the so-called separate spiritual reality will no longer be separate, and the decision does not need to be made to end one and to begin another. There will be an integration, and that is what happens as your awareness expands, and that is one of the differences between various dimensional realities, is that the awareness expands so that there is less and less separation necessary between cycles, between manifestations of whatever sort. You see? So as you move into your next octave, you will be less separate from your soul. Your awareness will be there will be no need for your awareness to be have a separation. We hope this is coming across.
It is.
So there would be no death experience, and that is what you will perceive as immortality. And there will, at the same time, you see, your consciousness will transcend the understanding of time or the limitations of time. And that goes along with this expansion of awareness also. Because you will see through time. You will not need to have a birth and death sequential experience. You might choose to go back and spend a lot of time being a baby. You might go to your future consciousness in order to change something that you want to bring into your awareness now, bring into your experience in the now, so-called. See, it would be much more fluid. And you can move from one place to the next. The idea of prophecy becomes quite different because instead of it being a prediction, it is a creation, and you have an understanding of that. You see? That's by contemplating the future, you are then creating the future, and you can go and envision all of the possibilities of potential futures. And you can go in the past and see where all of the changes in your past might lead to. So you can do this all in a fluid way, you see? Without the limitation of having to go through a cause and effect reality.
And we're able to do that because we're accepting ourself as the now, meaning that is our true one dimension that we exist in, the always, the now, the present moment. So when we're in alignment or identified with our spirit or higher self, while we're still having the human experience, the next stage of evolution is to stay in a human experience, but with an expanded awareness.
Yes. Because you will still be in the human experience. Do not forget that.
Right.
You're expanding the human experience.
Right.
So your prophetic visions will be more, shall we say, real to you? Shall we say, you will be able to experience your prophetic vision in the now, actually experience it, understand it, see all of the alternatives, and then decide how to act in your now accordingly. Does this make sense to you?
Yes. Yes.
Your vision will be greater. Your vision through time and through space.
One last quick question. When we invite this higher energy in because we're aligning with our higher or more authentic self, tell me what starts to happen to the physical body as far as alchemy. What hormones start to get secreted, and how does the physical body start to adjust to hold the higher vibration of light?
Excellent question. Every aspect of that so-called hormones and all of the biological processes that go through your system have another dimension, local quality to them. And you're basically activating it within you, you see? And that frequency of all of those elements of your system are on a lighter vibration. So as you open to that lighter vibration, all of your systems are also lightening. And it's hard for you to comprehend right now. Because you are feeling so solid, but you will actually be less solid. Because there is more light, you could say.
More ethereal.
Moving through your system. And you will begin to see each other this way, as light. You will be able to see the light moving through. And all the light has colors that are reflected. You see? So you'll see the colors reflected. And the light that moves through you. It is not that you will have no physical matter, but that physical matter will change in its quality and vibration. And you will be able to read more into it, you see? You will be able to see through the solidity. And you will also, back to your earlier topic, see all of your collective that is within you. All the other beings living within you, and you will not see them as creepy things. You will be in tune with them, and they will be lit up, and they are evolving too, along with you. You see? I mean, every form of your body has meaning and has consciousness. Your blood cells, your mitochondria, your eyelashes, everything has a consciousness of its own. And you will be able to feel that, know that, just as the earth knows all of the consciousness that lives upon her. You'll be able to feel it in a different way, you see? You become a different type of being, a being that has luminosity. And it has been talked about how you human beings should be able to fly. Are lighter, what do you think might happen? But it is not the same as your concept now of flying. So think a bit differently about that. Mm-hmm. What kind of flight might a lighter physical being have?
So that would be like levitation, a form of levitation almost.
We on Andromeda do not.
You don't have cars?
Have cars, no. We fly. We have created wings of light. And is often why we are actually have been and seen in your history as angels. But we are different than angels. But we work with angels. We have come literally to your planet on the wings of angels. But we have our own wings.
Can we fly on the wings of angels?
Would you like to?
I'd love to.
Imagine it then. Remember that. That imagination is what will take you there. For real. Everything begins there. And one day you will be flying with us and the angels. We wait to see the day. We encourage it. Us and the angels are very enthusiastic to see you enlightened, to see you become lighter beings. You will enjoy it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm, for sure. One last question. You mentioned that you came in a little bit later in the life evolution of the planet. Can you tell us about when you decided to be more involved in our planet? Was it way before, say, Atlantis or Lemuria? Is there any way you can give some insight?
Well, we did have missions prior to that time. You see, but it was just prior to your Atlanteans and your Lemurians that we became more involved. And it was in unison with the Pleiadians, who were very involved, and they can speak for themselves about this in that time period, in changing the DNA of the human being. Also, prior to that, you see. But we were involved in the study of the planet, and seeing, and in the decisions to be made, basically as advisors, really, on what to, where to go with the next evolution. So this was at the time of when you had your big shift on the planet. So after the 65 billion mark, into the millions of years ago, it was the big change, and then it was, well, what do we do with it? Where will we go from here? And we were asked to be involved in this, based on our own evolution. What would we give? Because many in the galaxy and beyond, in the universe, were asked to give parts of themselves. We all thought this was a splendid idea. That it wouldn't be just one species, that we would take bits of what we consider to be the best of our qualities and see if we could create something new that had a bit of each of us. And so there was quite a committee, as you might call it, formed to take part in this. And there were stages of the process. Some were very good at putting in the very small life that you what you considered the very first life forms, the individual cells. And then as they developed, they just weren't developed on their own, you see. Then at various stages, different energies and different content from various parts of the universe were infused, were given to, in a sense, were put upon the DNA of various species as they started to develop. So it started with the very, very, very first cell and went from there, you see. So as the environments changed, then it was decided what's appropriate for that being in that environment to help it along or to give it a bit of the essence of various places. Not all of that essence was meant to become a human being, you see. That's a particular evolution in itself, but I'm talking about everything. Because as was said, it was important for the planet herself to experience all these energies. She agreed that she would love to experience it all. Don't forget, consciousness is awareness at various levels, and it continually is expanding. And each being is continually expanding. So though we put, the reptilians, for example, gave their essence to that being on your planet, the reptilians that you have today even, that those beings had their own development in their own consciousness from there. And that is all a part of that universal oneness. And it can't be anything else. There is no detachment from that. And then the souls develop, you see? The energy that is placed in there is consciousness. Right. So that consciousness is soul, what you call soul. It is energy. Mm-hmm. But then it expands. It expands by desire, which is natural for the creation. By motivation. And those motivations change just as they are changing with humanity right now. Instead of motivations of greed and selfishness and self-centeredness to the point of disregarding your neighbor, that urge and that motivation is shifting to something else.
Was there a time where, and this is a big controversy in the human epic, where we have apes evolving into Homo sapiens, was there a time where it was decided that the life form of an ape would be used and manipulated to enable the human experience?
There's more to the question than meets the eye.
Okay.
But there is an element of that, yes. But there was a lot of experimentation with it. There was not just one being, one type of what you call ape, or chimpanzees, or various particular types of monkeys. This was one form that it was thought that might evolve, yes, and it was decided that the form. But the form was in itself, was already seeded from elsewhere,
right.
Okay? So that is why you are see lots of this form, this what you call a humanoid. You're calling it humanoid because that's your perspective, you see?
Right.
But this form, yes, this basic form of these extremities and this shape, and that there is a sacredness to it on many levels beyond what you understand, and your sacred geometry points to it. There's a connection between your shape and the sacred geometrical forms.
No.
This is no accident. So you see that the levels that we are speaking of here already, the complexity to your question.
Yes.
So at some point there was decided, yes, that that form would be useful. It would be carried on. But there was no, it is not that there was an ape and then it was given DNA and it developed. It was much more to it than that. And quite frankly, we are not sure that the humanity is ready to hear it. So we are going to wait. We are being advised. We're being advised that it needs to be considered further. Just know that it is not quite what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
That there's elements of truth to the idea of the form, the humanoid form being carried forth, and that there were already some here. Yes? But there is a lot to be said about that missing link. And we are being advised that there might be others that would be speaking about this particularly.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Yes.
But do know that the form and that there are others that you were modeled after, and it was not to him. Monkeys, okay? It was much before that your model was already created.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I see. I understand.
Yeah.
And so we'll leave it at that, and then we will ask others to advise as
yes.
to what is the way that it would be best for you to receive this information.
Yeah. We appreciate that. And as you go, if I may ask, who you are on Andromeda, in your own world.
Well, I am considered an ambassador to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you would understand it. I am on a council that specifically deals with relations with our collective of Andromedans in our galaxy with yours, you see, and what we might share with you. So I am from a council,
mm-hmm.
an Andromedan council that assists with Earth's evolutionary processes. I have been doing this for thousands of years because we do not have thousands of your years as a soul, as an energy consciousness. And so we are a part of a greater group then. Our Andromedan Council also consoles with councils from other places, many in your galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
and work in cooperation with them in deciding what involvement there is to be had, you see? Because, firstly, understand that there is not this... We are not putting anything upon you because you are all free to experience and to evolve. No one wants to change that natural evolution. We are quite excited, actually, about what is happening. Because we are seeing what you are doing. We are seeing the possibilities. And that is cherished because, as you see, we are talking about billions of years of investment. By many. This is not a small event that you are making this leap. It has been a concern. It has been a concern where you might go. And that is why there is being a lot of input right now. Because there's so much investment in where you are headed. There was so much put in your history to warn you not to go where you were going. We see through time, you see. We see probabilities. But you have a choice of which you are going to activate, and that changes with your thoughts, it changes with your energy that you put into your reality.
Beloved one, with that being said, you know, there's a potential threat of nuclear war in the Middle East. Would our higher brethren allow a nuclear war to happen at this time on this planet, or would it be stopped?
You are stopping it. We just gave you hints. We gave you injection of spirit to help you make that decision. You see? But you are making it as beings on this planet. We gave you a bit of help to remind you of how silly you were being. And some things you think happened in one way, actually, it's quite different. There was a little bit of assistance, you might say, in some of your collective decisions. But it was only an inspiration. You had to act upon it or not act upon it. See, we've decided it can be allowed to give you a little bit of spark. But you must decide whether to react to the spark, how you are going to react to the spark, if you will even notice it, and what you will then do with it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
We send you love and light.
Love and light.
We appreciate that. We feel that very deeply. And the same, of course, goes out to you perpetually.